from the sleepiest studio in WDRT. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
And it is very, very nice to be here. And it does feel a little bit sleepy.
A little bit. It's relaxing at 80 degrees.
It is. It's calm, yeah.
86 degrees, I don't know.
Yeah, summery. It's felt like summer for at least 36 hours now.
At least.
This is the best part of spring, once again.
Well, it'll be back on Sunday, from what I heard. Ah,
thanks a lot, guy.
Well,
way to bring it way,
it's Wisconsin,
way
man.
Down.
Wait 5 minutes, the weather will change.
Fair. So, good week for you?
Been all right.
Yeah, it was a full week.
Yeah. No snow.
Zero good. Snow.
Maybe Sunday.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm outside now pulling. I'm doing garden stuff.
Yeah, same.
I've moved on to staring at the riding lawnmower and getting really excited to gas that thing up, and not to mow, but just to pull debris from the yard because there's a wagon and you know, like just doing that. You can pull.
You know, this is a sports show.
We were talking, and if anybody is a sports fan out there, and I hope there are, it's a really really slow sports week.
It is.
And talking about. We absolutely could hammer out 30 real minutes of real sports analysis, but
there isn't any really.
There is, yeah, it's the Bucks and the Brewers, and you know, sports talk radio. Is sports talk radio a sport season? Kind of, sort of. No.
Yes.
If you listen to enough of it,
it becomes whatever it is.
No. I do think about, like, you know, in slow. How much could we do non-sports talking about before somebody mentioned to us, hey, you know, sports things?
Because we could pull the old public radio and do the SNL with Alec Baldwin and do the Schwetti.
I would enjoy every part of that. Yeah, we.
That sounds really.
Can
good.
We write a skit? We a loosely based sports skit instead of a sports
during,
show
during downtime.
Yeah, well, I mean, this week, next week, and I'll make a list. There's a couple.
Well, we got draft coming up in a couple weeks.
So maybe next week if we want some filler. I have a list of a couple of short things. What's your favorite thing you've eaten this week?
Oh, wow.
Well, we both work in food, but so not at work. What's your favorite thing you ate this week?
Oh, you want this now?
Yeah, just give me one real quick, and then we'll move on to sports things.
God, what did I have? Turkey sandwich.
That was it? Wow.
It was really good, but it was regular turkey, smoked turkey, and a sun-dried tomato turkey.
Ooh, that's solid.
And I can't say where. So.
Okay, no, but you had that. All right, my favorite thing? They sell now. I went to the Hy-Vee grocery store. They just sell the bottom of Sunday bars, so it's just the waffle cone with chunk of chocolate.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. That's a winner.
I would love that, but I can't eat it.
No, you should not.
No,
eat
probably
that.
Not.
I shouldn't eat it either.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Well, good.
So back to sports. Yeah, right. Like I said, it's been a really slow week in sports. Doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the week of sports because the Brewers. Once again, we're on. The nice thing about watching and being a baseball fan is in the course of a week, you will fit in about four or five games. Four or five games doesn't really mean much in you know, one individual week. But you start piecing it together, and then that Brewers, if we're going to use a football and you know comparison, they're 1-0 on the season. Mm. They've filled up now 11 games. They're sitting at 8-3.
That's pretty good.
8-3 is really good. They're first in the division. So, you know, go Brewers there. Yeah, they're playing a 10 game, which I thought was a lot, but you know, 10 game road trip starting today playing against the Diamondbacks. It is Thursday. They're losing today, but yeah, 10 game road trip. That'll really tell you a lot at this point. You can go 10 games.
Sure.
I mean, breaking 500 on a road trip is nice. But after just going to break down some stats, after 11 games, like I said, it's very, very early in the season. There's no such thing as trends. There's no such thing as it. A lot will change, and a lot, you know, from last week. Garrett Mitchell is still hitting over 300. He's three home runs, which, you know, at this point in the season, three home runs, you're looking at a guy hitting, you know, you'd like to see him hit 20 or so home runs. Brian Anderson, a guy they picked up from the Marlins as a free agent, he also has three home runs, 10 RBIs. Yeah, he's hitting, for people who are nerdy into stats, as I am, he's hitting the fastball better than any other player in the majors currently, which is, you know,
nice.
Like I said, 11 games, but he's really, really good. Willy Adames, who's been an all-star for the Brewers and for the last 2 years has been their MVP, Albeit last year he hit 240, but he hit 30 home runs. He's hitting over 300. He's got himself a couple home runs. He's got three home runs. Some of the rookies, you had Joey Weimer and Bryce Turing, are starting to – they were well over 300 to start the year, you know, but now they have kind of leveled off a little bit.
Okay.
Hitting around 240, 250, 260. But, you know, as an everyday starter, it's nice to see three rookies still – pacing the way for the Brewers. Injuries are bound to happen. They need depth, but it's still nice to see this early in the year. They're pitching. Last night, Corbin Burns, who had two really poor starts, pitched like an all-star.
Nice.
Yep, seven innings, had his strikeouts, did the things correctly. Other than their bullpen, which it seems like every year since I've been watching the Brewers, I could make you a really boring and really long list of Brewers relievers who've been really good. It seems like they always put together a solid bullpen going back, 20 years or so, but this year is no different. All of their starters have really solid ERAs, right around much better than you'd think they'd have. Devin Williams, their closer that they really had to count on this year because they traded Josh Hader,
yep,
to get themselves some offense. He's pitching like Josh Hader. That is very, very nice to see. So yeah, all in all, 8-3. This point next week, I'll just keep saying it's one game and one half into an NFL. It's very short, but yeah, it's really fun to listen to the Brewers, catching them on the radio every single day.
Put them in first in their division then, or are they?
They're currently first in the division. The Tampa Bay Rays still haven't lost a game.
Yeah, that's
the American. They are 11-0 in the American League. The Brewers have one of the better records in the National League. I'm sure there's others that have lost two games or three games. But, yeah, they're in their division, they're a couple games up currently because they've played the Cardinals and they won. Like I said, we could talk more in depth about Brewers relievers and things, but that's not – that's not how I want to spend any part of 30 minutes.
I just will shout out. Please my do. Minnesota Twins are 8-4 right now.
There you go. So
they got one game lead of the Guardians in the Central. So,
and I'm willing to bet that the Brewers and Twins will play. They play interleague at some point. So we can. Do you want to gamble on that?
No.
No, not for money.
Not for baseball.
Gambling on baseball is one of the greatest traditions in sports. No, we're not going to do that. All right, fine.
No, because that you
can
I
we
know.
Root? Can we openly root? We'll root.
Well, yeah.
But we will not bet.
I mean, what we do But yeah.
No, that's kind of nice. 8-4. It'd be nice to see. You know, let's go real early and just declare Brewers Twins World Series.
Yeah.
And why not? Hey.
Well, to be fair, when's the last time they won a World Series?
I will say the Twins.
No, Twins have won 91 that year.
92 and 87.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, 92, 87, 89, 92.
I thought it was 90.
I feel like it's 92 and 87, but and the Brewers haven't won a World Series ever. So, yes, I would really like to see. I would really very much enjoy watching a
87-91.
Yep.
I still have a home hanky from the 91 year.
Oh, I remember watching every single one of those games on TV. That was when they were all late at night on whatever channel that was when I was a kid. Yeah, I remember waving the hanky. I remember Kirby Puckett hitting a home run. Yeah.
That was great team. That was Kent Herbick, Greg Gagne, Dan Gladden.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Morris.
I dig that. Yeah, and the last Brewers, the last Brewers World Series team was in 1982. I could tell you all, Raleigh Fingers, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, sure. Gorman Thomas. That's a fantastic, I'd like to see a repeat of that. That would be, we'll just keep
beating that. It's the only franchise that wins in Minnesota.
Of course, you know what happened last time we started getting excited about a team. We were excited about a 9-1 Badgers team at one point.
Yeah.
And then every time we talked about them, something not good happened.
I was excited about a Minnesota Viking that was 13-4.
But I can't go a whole week without talking about the Brewers. That's pretty much why we're here, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the spectrum is the Bucks. Bucks season is officially over. They are, of course, the number one seed. They finished at least a couple of games above everybody else in the Eastern Conference by a whole... Yeah, they Giannis is one of the short list of MVP candidates. And there is playoff. There's a play-in for the playoffs in the NBA. 7 and 10 play to see who gets to play the Bucks, I'm fairly certain. Did that game happen last night or is happening... In the next day or two, the Bucks should be favored in absolutely every game and against every team that they play until they get to the NBA Finals. Probably, they're clearly better than they've played better than every team that they're going to come up against in the playoffs. Giannis is averaging 30 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. He's putting up Shaquille O'Neal type numbers or Hakeem Olajuwon type numbers.
Nice.
Numbers that are just, if it was most any other year, that's an MVP. But Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic are also putting up huge numbers. So it's really a horse apiece, as they call it.
Yeah.
You could pick any three of these guys. All three of their teams are really, really good, top records. But who else for the Bucks? The surprise player this year was Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday, a career 15-6 player, had averaged almost 20 points a game and 7 assists.
Well, he got into the All-Star game, too.
And he was an All-Star this year for the first time. He's been a centerpiece of a couple of big trades because he's really talented and plays really, really good defense. And has been a scorer, was obviously, like everybody, a great scorer in college. But he's developed into one of the best, if not the best, two-way playing offense and playing defense point guards in the NBA. And in a league where everybody scores points, if you have a guy who in the playoffs can stop, just lock a possession down, and the Bucks have at least two or three of those guys, between Brooke Lopez, who averaged, I want to say, close to two and a half blocks a game.
Okay.
He's real tall and shoots threes, which was just a really fun combination. And Chris Middleton, finally, he played the last 25, 30 games without getting hurt.
So, nice.
Bobby Portis averaged a double-double. Bobby Portis has been a guy, he once got suspended for punching a teammate in the face, but he's really talented, and he's found a team where his intensity and his go-go-go pays off, because he can be the third or fourth option on a team and playing defense and shooting threes and he's, yeah, the Bucks. There are no weaknesses on this team. They have depth because of injuries that did happen throughout the year. Pretty much everybody you're going to see in the playoffs started a couple of games at some point in the year or was traded for just these moments. Like, they traded for Jay Crowder, who was a player. He went to Marquette, but he sat out most of the year waiting to get traded to a good team and finally got traded to a good team in the Bucks. So, by this time next week, pretty sure the Bucks will have played.
I think Raptors and Bulls play tonight, I think.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
The Heat won their first game, or the play-in game. So the winner of the Raptors and Bulls play the Heat, and then the winner of that game will play the Bucks.
So it is a playoff to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, it is. Play-in, that's why they call it. You want to talk about my Timberwolves laughing at them?
I do, actually. Yeah, most of the time I'm not interested in the Timberwolves other than, a couple of players here and there. But over the weekend, the Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert got suspended for punching a teammate during a timeout. That's not a great idea. You should handle that elsewhere. And Rudy Gobert, keep in mind, was a guy that they traded
a lot for.
Four first-round picks and a list of four players.
And it's funny, it's not even his team.
No, he's the second best big man on the team. Very strange trade. Yeah. The guys they traded away to get him were they would have been just as good as he was this year. It's a real strange trade. But he got suspended. That was a weird way to end the season. Suspended for one game, this playoff game, or play-in game, which they lost to the Lakers last night.
Barely.
Yeah, he got suspended. Yeah, right. If you'd think having a all-defensive center in the lineup would help. But in that same game, after punching Kyle Anderson and not playing in the second half, Jaden McDaniels, a forward for the Timberwolves, was real mad about something, punched the wall.
And it broke his hand.
So that way to get... feels like Minnesota sports just sort of do that once in a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Field goals
it doesn't matter. Yeah, they're just...
Cheap shots from the Saints.
Yeah, Yeah, go
whatever.
Go Minnesota Sports. But yeah, no, that was I actually yeah, as rarely as I do pay attention to the Timberwolves. I haven't since Kevin Garnett was around. That was a funny way for their season to draw to a close.
So well, like, it's not technically not over yet though.
Do they have another?
No, yeah, because they lost. They play the winner of the Pelicans Thunder game.
I really thought it was
which is weird. The whole play in tournaments are really weird because if you lose, you still have a chance.
It's like a wrestle back. It's like a high school wrestling tournament, right? Like if you lose, you still get a chance to wrestle around and come back and win and play something. Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
because they're the 8 seed technically. So the Thunder and the Pelicans are the worst to play in. I mean, their records are.
I mean, I guess it keeps it more interesting. But like I said, unless you're a hardcore NBA fan, there's a real good chance you aren't interested in the 7 through 10 seed. You might just like a couple teams. Like I like the watching the Lakers, the Warriors. You like watching, maybe you know of the Knicks as a franchise. You know, it's because
The Knicks are in it.
They are in it. Yeah, the Knicks have been pretty good all year.
Nets are in it again.
Yes,
by the way,
good job on them. But the Nets turned. They weren't from a laughingstock earlier this year with Kyrie Irving and
Durant
and Durant, you know, demanding to leave, and them being just laughed at on TV and saying, you know, they've really dropped the ball and this, that, and the other to trading those two guys away for something. You know, like these guys didn't want to be there. They traded for something and some draft picks. And Kyrie Irving's been terrible for Dallas. They didn't make the play-in. They didn't make the playoffs.
They also had a little the NBA's investigating them for playing the guys in the last game.
Yes.
Because they could have qualified if they would have won.
Yeah, they're trying to protect draft picks instead 10. Of
yep.
Which is wild because like I said, they went all in trying to trade for Kyrie Irving, who was
spent
so much to get him. So yeah, great job on Brooklyn's part to still make the playoffs and
without those two.
Yeah. It might tell you a little more about how good Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving really are.
Well, Durant's really good because he's in the Suns and they're in.
Yes.
So
that team's fun to watch too. If you're flipping through that team plays like a video game worth of players. If you're ever watching, get a chance to watch the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, that's really good TV.
I've always liked what's his name? Paul.
Oh, Chris Paul.
Paul. I liked him.
Well, you know what's funny is that strangely somehow or another has led us into Chris Paul as a villain.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is a really easy to dislike NBA player because he does little cheap shoddy things. He's an elbows guy.
Yeah,
throws his hips into things. He's takes funny awkward charges and you know talks a lot to the referees, yells a lot. And we were talking, you know, as like what else can we talk about in the world of sports?
Because other people I just don't like.
Yeah, other players that we just throughout the
on
last
our own teams.
I mean,
we could probably we only got less than 10 minutes. I mean, you could probably take up just for my Vikings and how many people I just loathe in the past.
As we've talked about this before, we really should record the pre-show worth of work that we do in the 30 minutes because in the 30 minutes, I was writing down players that made me upset. You know, it was Michael Vick. It's an easy one. Bill Romanowski.
Yep.
I love Dennis Rodman, but Dennis Rodman is a villain. We're talking villains of sports. Love Dennis Rodman. If you had 5 Dennis Rodmans on a team, you'd never lose a game. Love that. But the whole steroids era of people.
Oh, sure.
Maguire, Canseco, Alex Rodriguez, dipping that into Bud Selig. Those are all villains. Yep. And Bud Selig is, I guess, if he is a villain for my team.
Sure.
He was former Brewers owner and used car salesman. You know, every time I drove when I lived in Milwaukee, you drove past a Selig Motors quite often, and I just assumed that was what he did after he retired.
Right,
he just went back to selling used cars. David Stern was a villain, but what really hit a nice nerve was when I just started listing things on the Vikings that made you upset.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you like to talk about any number? We're gonna start.
I have no idea. I love every Vikings that have ever come through the door.
Okay,
the stadium.
We're gonna do this for 10 minutes. We're gonna do this and maybe end with music when he swears and we have to just play music instead. We're gonna start at the bottom of this list and say Percy Harvin.
You know, he was such a hyped up guy.
Yeah.
I don't even think was he in there for what, 5 years maybe in the league?
He got traded
even?
Before the end of his rookie contract.
Right.
So he was 4 years,
I think.
And with the Vikings. Often in for anybody.
Horrible.
He was a first round pick for the Vikings, a wide receiver slash running back, maybe a couple years ahead of his era.
But he wasn't good.
Wasn't good. Suffered from migraines. But when he was on the field, played, you know, really that was well during that sometimes.
Time. I mean, that was, you know, it could have been a quarterback, could have been the coaches at that time. We won't even, we can talk about coaches.
Well, I was going to say, the we could skip a couple. If we can go from Percy Harvin to, well, we're going to save, we're going to save one to say just past Vikings coaches. We made a list of who the worst Packer coach was, and it was a tie between Lindy Infante and Forrest Gregg, which were, those are tough. Those were early, I remember early moments of my youth watching very, very bad Packers football for a long time. They also had, you know, Don, it was funny, Lindy Infante was also the coach of the year and also had a 40, in 4 years, had a 40% winning percentage. So he had three awful, awful years and one fantastic year. But yeah, want to talk about Mike Tice? Brad Childress?
That's right there. I mean, Jerry Burns, he wasn't horrible. Jerry Burns wasn't too bad. He just wasn't a likable guy. It's,
okay, because that was just a bad era of, like I said, the Packers were bad during that time, too.
I mean, 86 to 91. That, I mean, but he still won. I mean, he was 3-3 in the playoffs, but you go to Mike Tice, he just didn't have a clue.
He seemed he had resting dumb face.
Yeah.
For anyone, look that up. If anyone's not aware what that is, look that up on your phones, tablets, or otherwise. But then resting
the other
dumb face.
The other thing was Brad Childress, and that was during the Ponder.
Yeah.
You know,
that was a bad comment. See, I like Brad Childress because he was a former Wisconsin Badgers assistant.
Matter.
It mattered to me.
Doesn't matter.
And he was taking a team I didn't like and burying them in the ground. So I'm actually a bigger fan of Brad Childress than most.
You're the only one.
It's, you know, for a Wisconsin fan, he was fun to watch ruin the Vikings for a number of years.
Yeah, but see, then we had Leslie Frazier, which I really liked.
Sure.
He's just a horrible head coach. Great defensive mind.
Yes. Has been fired twice as a head coach. He might be your worst head coach.
Yeah. Percentage-wise, 39.8% in 3 years.
And, of course, you look at the – you could probably look at the reasons why some of that is like you had a – Christian Ponder was a starting quarterback for the
first round.
You had Tavares. You had Tavares Jackson starting a number of games.
4 years. Let's just keep him.
You started,
hey, we'll grab Favre.
You started Joe Webb. On purpose. Don't expect to win any games from that, right?
But there's that. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's always coaches. I mean, aside from the kickers, if you're a Minnesota Viking fan.
Oh, yeah. No, the one I saved for you was Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson. Great coach. I'm a great kicker. Hall of Famer.
Yes.
That's one season. He was perfect.
Yes.
And the one kick you need him to make.
One. From about 30-ish yards, right?
Yeah, not even. No, it wasn't even, like, horrible. It was
makeable.
Chink.
He missed it by this much.
Not even that much.
You know, well, yeah, I don't. Yeah,
know. We're on radio, but it wasn't much.
This long, yeah.
And you shouldn't have missed it.
Of course not. I remember that team all the way around. Yeah,
great team.
There was no reason the Atlanta Falcons should have been in the Super Bowl.
No,
100%. There's no reason that Vikings team was loaded up with Hall of Famers. That's my favorite one. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why
it all started with Gary Anderson, and ever since, every time we get a field goal kicker, and it's like. Oh, Blair Walsh, why are you doing this to me? You know, and then it's Joseph. And then, we have a history with kickers being horrible.
As a Packer fan, I've watched for the longest time, we were good. And then the last few years of watching watching Mason Crosby makes me just every time they kick, I just like just go for it.
Just retire.
Just go for it. It doesn't matter. Just go for it on fourth down. Stop giving the opportunity to kickers are their own thing to dislike about the only thing I dislike about football is kickers.
Yeah.
I love professional soccer. I love soccer all the way around. And kickers in football, just because from the college to pros to everywhere, kickers just drive you nuts.
Yeah.
Hey, how much time we got?
I don't know. Enough time for me to say that my all-time one I don't like player, NFL?
Absolutely.
Would have been Favre, but he came in to the Minnesota and tried something. He almost got there, but honestly, Aaron Rodgers
is still
he's probably not even just Minnesota Vikings, probably the Bears, Detroit.
What don't you like about Aaron Rodgers?
Is he still a Packer? He's still a Packer, isn't he?
He's still. Do you think your dislike of him goes away when he becomes a Jet?
No,
it'll stay.
Loathing is very the best thing I could say on
you'll
the
stay
air.
Him yeah yeah thank
you
know, for
no, not, yeah you know yeah. I can say other words about him, but it just his smugness. I mean, I when he was at Chicago and I own you
yeah
shut up
right yes
You don't own them?
Yeah, they're 3-13. They're terrible. Yeah. We know.
You own them? Should have owned
Everybody
them.
In the league owns them. They're awful. Yes.
But
no, Aaron Rodgers has become a pretty easy one to dislike.
The only other one, but I respect him too much, is Barry Sanders. Because every time Minnesota played Detroit, Barry just ran, had his way, you know.
No, I feel the same way about the Dallas Cowboys. My short list is the entire Dallas Cowboys from the late 90s, because it seemed like every time the Packers were good, they had to travel to Jerryland and get beat on the turf by Troy Aikman and Daryl Johnston and Emmitt Smith and Mike every time over and over. And oh man, when I see Jimmy Johnson on TV still, it's been long enough where I should be able to let that go. But I just can't. So that's kind of where it sits with that.
You want to play a song?
Do we have time to play one song?
Barely.
Did you cue something up?
Yeah, I do.
Did you cue up Kenny Rogers?
I did.
Did you cue up The Gambler?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, buddy. All right, well, to everybody, thank you for listening along. Thanks for – catch us on Spotify. Catch us on WDRT. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done." Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em,